Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there, and welcome back to Holding Space Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cassidy Freitas, and I am so glad you are tuning in today. In today's episode, we are breaking down two of my favorite Bluey episodes. I invited my colleague Tessa Ritchie onto the podcast. We both love the Bluey show, and we've bonded recently over how sometimes after episodes, we'll find ourselves thinking how many incredible parenting strategies were actually embedded into the episode. And both of us on our own have separately experienced in tough parenting moments the question of what would Chili do or what would Bandit do? And as therapists, we find ourselves pulling themes from these episodes and having some really meaningful conversations with our kids after we watch them together. And we thought that we might share all of that with you. So in this episode, we are breaking down two Bluey episodes, the episode Bad Mood and the episode Perfect, with themes related to feeling like you're a bad kid or a bad person when you make decisions that are not the best, and struggling with the question of what is perfect and the pressure of perfectionism. You're going to leave this episode with some practical parenting strategies that we have pulled from these Bluey episodes, as well as connecting questions that you can ask your kids after you watch them together. We've also created a free PDF for you that breaks all of this down. So you can just listen and enjoy the conversation. No need to take notes. We've done it for you, and you can download that at the link in the show notes. All right. Are you ready? Let's dive in. You're listening to Holding Space Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cassidy Freitas. I'm a mom to three and licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm really glad that you took the time to hold space for you by tuning in to today's episode. My hope with this podcast is to share conversations with experts from around the world and parents who've been through it so that maybe you feel a little less alone in your experiences and the messy side of being a parent and being a human, and so that you can walk away with supportive steps for what to do next. Listening to this episode is not a substitute for seeking support from a professional in your area. I believe that holding space and offering presence to both ourselves and others is truly one of the most meaningful ways that we can express care. And you are so deserving of that care. All right, are you ready? Let's dive in. Tessa, what does that song bring up for you? Like, when you hear that song, what are you feeling?
Joy. And it's like a reset. Like, it just brings me back into my body. And like, I don't know, something about it is like just a deep, fresh breath of air.
And you know, I really do believe there's some psychology around that in terms of just like what we experience when we're actually watching the show, and then how our brain connects a certain song to the show. I mean, that song can bring kids of all ages and adults of all ages like running to the couch to cuddle up and watch whatever is about to unfold with the Healer family. So I am so excited to have you back on the podcast, Tessa, today, and really excited for us to break down the phenomena of Bluey. The love for this family, for this healer dog that lives in Australia, and her family and her friends is just so widespread. And you and I have really bonded and connected over our love of Bluey. So before we dive in, though, can you share a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your own love of the Healer family?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm so happy to be back too. When you sent me a voice memo that was like, hey, I have this idea about...
It's always a voice memo with me.
I have this idea about Bluey and like, what do you think? And you kind of like laid it out in the voice memo. And like, I didn't even listen to the voice memo. All I heard was Bluey. And I was like, yep, totally. Like, I'm in. I'm like so excited to do this. And then later I was like, wait, what are we doing? All I heard is Bluey. And I said, yes. And like, I actually don't know what we're doing.
I think you were like with your kid and you were like, you know how we do. We like, we start listening or we like start reading it because now it like transcribes it, which I love. And then it's just like, yes. And then you're like, wait, hold on. What's the idea?
I know. I was like, I don't care what the idea, like, do you want me to dress up as Bluey? Like, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm down for it. Like, whatever it is, like, when it comes to Bluey and the healers, like, I love it. Like, I feel like, there. I mean, we'll get into stuff, but like, there's so much about the show that just feels like a yes to me. Like, it just is always a yes when it comes to the show. And I'm actually originally from New Zealand, so neighbors to the Healer family. Mackenzie, one of her friends, is a Kiwi as well, and they talk a little bit about it in the Decider episode when they're going up against each other. So technically we're like enemies, but not really. I really relate to like the family dynamics. Like, my family is very similar to the healers and their humor. So it was really fun to, discover a show that just felt so good and felt so like homey to me. And then also to have so many other people relate to it. I feel, you know, it's just a, it's just like a, I'm really glad that Bluey came about in the time when I'm raising a child, because I feel like it's something parents really need.
It really is. And I couldn't agree more. And, you know, it really has become a phenomenon. Like, when I'm on TikTok, right? Like, I do my TikTok Fridays where I share my funny TikToks. So yes, I spend about 15 minutes a day on my scroll. And I mean, like there are so – I know the algorithm knows.
It knows you like Bluey.
But like, there are some really creative people out there creating some incredible content. I mean, and it's hilarious. It's like there's one creator that like pretends like they're another dog family at the park. And they're like, oh no, the healers are coming. Like, they're always like so full of energy and playing with their kid.
Oh, don't look. Oh, Bluey and her family. Oh, here they come. Whatever bit the kids are doing, the whole family commits to it 100%. It's unhinged. Wouldn't be so bad if they didn't expect us to play along with them. Hey, Bandit. Hey, Chili.
And then by the end, they're like crying and like just really connecting to the realness of it, of the healers and everything. And then, I mean, there's the folks joking about how like they're watching Bluey, like their kid has left the room, but they're still watching like after hours.
All the time. My husband will be like, our son is like outside, like he's not even watching anymore. And I'm like, I know, but like this is like, I want to watch it.
Right. I love it. And so there was another content creator that was like watching, and it was like, do you think Bandit and I would be friends? Like, do you think he'd like me? You know? And what was so funny about that was like, just that week I was navigating a tricky parenting situation with our toddler. She
had a UTI, and then she was holding her pee because, you know, she was associating pee with pain. And and I knew that that was a vicious cycle, that like if she kept holding her pee, it could cause more infections. And so I was like, what? We need to do something here. Like, and I needed something that would help us connect, would bring levity, would help her relax. And I literally, I kid you not, I said to myself, what would Chili do? And I did. And that was like, that was my parenting strategy that helped me then come up with a strategy. And what I ended up doing was had her chase me. I was like, I bet you can't catch my butt. Can you catch my butt? And I started running towards the bathroom because I knew that she had to go. And then, you know, and so we got there, you know, because we were connecting, having fun, being playful. And then I was like, June, if you get on that toilet and pee starts coming out, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I might just dance like a robot.
Daddy Robot, we never want a toddy to play with ever again. Yeah, ever again.
Never again.
Never again. Ever. At all. You understand?
Yes, Master. Recalculating.
Like a robot. And so I sat her up there and right, like, and there was still a little bit of tension, but like she really had to go. So she started to pee and I started dancing like a robot, you know, and she loved it. And it has been, I think, like 5 weeks since that happened. And I dance now when she pees. Like, it's a thing. Like, when she pees, she's like, Mama, you gotta do the dance, you know? And I change it up once in a while. Now after we watched the new episode, The Sign, now I floss. She wants me to do, she's like, just do the Bluey dance. And that's the floss. And so, you know,
I can't even do that.
I ask myself, you know, WWCD, what would Chili do? And,
And now you're stuck dancing every time.
It helps me access that part, that like levity and that playfulness and that connection. Yes. And totally. And it worked.
Yeah, totally. It's funny because it reminds me of like all the episodes where the kids like are like, oh, let's play this. And usually Banjo or Chili's like, no, not that one.
Daddy.
Dad!
Oh, hi, Bingo. Oh, no, not bad mood.
This episode of Bluey is called Bad.
Because you're just like, okay, I did it once to like be playful, and now you're like stuck doing the robot in like public restrooms.
Yes, and that comes up in the episode, The Bad Mood, that we'll be talking about today. So in today's episode, the Bluey breakdown, part one, maybe this will be a series. Yes. We'll see if you all like it. But this, we're going to talk about bad mood and perfect. But before we dive into those episodes where we're going to share with you some of the major themes that we as parents can take from the episodes and translate into parenting strategies and conversations you can have with your kid after the episode to really bring home some of those themes and connection opportunities. Before we get into that, can you share a little bit with us, Tessa, about the background of Bluey? Because you've done some research and I know you've taken some notes.
I mean, yeah, it was like the most fun research I've ever done. Yeah, so Bluey obviously is an Australian show. If anyone has never seen it, like, what rock are you living under? But please go and watch it. But it's an animated
show. We'll pull you out of the rock.
Yeah. Join us. It's an animated show following the Healers. So it's a family of dogs. The main one is Bluey. So she's a blue healer puppy. And she's just this like highly energetic, like huge imagination, like such curiosity about the world. She has a younger sister, Bingo, who's like lovely and like regularly joins her on their adventures. And then we've got Mom Chili and Dad Bandit, who are just like along for the ride.
And one of the things that I think is so fun and funny when you really think about it is their jobs. So the parents' jobs. So Chili works at an airport, right? Which I think is really funny because dogs oftentimes do work at airports, right? Like sniffing around. Right. And then what is Bandit's job? What is Bandit's job?
Yeah. So he's an archaeologist. And so, yes, also a digging type of job.
The digging, because dogs dig. I love it. I love it. It's so good. There's just so much thought put into like every piece of this show. I mean, even when you think about like the most recent release, the longer episode, The Sign, if you've been an avid Bluey watcher, like there's so many little connections. Like, I mean, I talked about it on Instagram the other day, and like so many other people had other connections. And so I'm going to have to put that in a highlight. If anybody's like, wait, what are all these connections to past episodes? You can go watch my Instagram highlight Bluey, because I'm going to, that's where I just go full throttle fan of Bluey.
Yes. Well, we had a whole like text conversation in our group practice about like, oh my gosh, have you seen the latest episode? And like, what did you think? And can you believe this and that? Like we're like dissecting like the Bachelorette. Like the Bluey is like our new like Bachelorette or whatever.
You know what I think? Like, cause my 9-year-old loves Bluey. And it's funny, at first I think he was a little embarrassed because we were going on a big trip on an airplane and he wanted to download all the Bluey episodes, but we were traveling with a friend and he was like, do you think that he'll care that I want to watch Bluey? And I was like, you know, buddy, like, I don't know. I don't know what he feels about Bluey, but if you want Bluey, then like, then let's do that. And it was really sweet when he like showed his friend, and then they like ended up watching one together, and then his friend was hooked too, right? Because they're a little bit older. My 3-year-old, she actually was not super into Bluey at first. And I was like, what? And then when Bluey comes on, I sit down because I want to watch it too. And then and then she started asking for it more. And you know, I think that it's a good show. And I think she really genuinely does enjoy it now because she'll watch it without me. But I do think that there was a part at first for her that was like, this show makes mom slow down and sit down, and then we get to watch it together. And I think that's just what the kids crave at the end of the day the most, you know? Yes, and so I thank Bluey for that too, for helping me slow down.
Yeah. I think my clients appreciate Bluey too, because I mentioned it so much. And like, they're probably like, did you even go to like graduate school to be a therapist, or do you just watch Bluey for parenting advice? And I'm like, both. But I'll be like oh my gosh, like what you're saying reminds me of this episode of Bluey. And they're probably like, oh man, lady, you need to get a life.
No, I'm sure they love it, and they're like, here's your homework assignment, right? And like, because it's something tangible and something that you can involve your kids in, and that's why we're doing this.
Yes, I love it.
So tell us a little bit about the creators of Bluey.
Yeah, so it was created by Joe Brum. And he has, it's kind of like his experience raising 2 daughters, basically. He really wanted to make a show just about like family and games. So it's not really like the lessons that you learn in Bluey are just like part of the like imaginative play. And I was reading about, you know, his experience, and that one of his daughters had trouble with kind of like the typical education, like learning about numbers and letters, like sitting down in an environment. And like what helped her was kind of this imaginative play. And like that really helped kind of learn things and like outside of a formal education through like learn a lot of life skills through this play. And, you know, he did some research on play, and the focus is kind of on this socio-dramatic play where basically we're learning these skills in a play-based, like drama-based type of play. And so he, based off of research that was done, psychology research into like early childhood around this socio-emotional play. Just how helpful it is for kids to learn in that way. Like obviously we have like play therapy. So like if you're a child therapist, like a lot of folks engage in play therapy because that's just like how children express themselves, right? Like when I work with kids, like they don't want to sit down and have a formal conversation. Like they want to like play out things and like act out things. And so that's kind of the basis of the show, is just like they're learning things through this type of play-based expression and how effective it can be in kind of teaching.
What is that? What is that one episode? What is the one episode with the character Mackenzie, and Mackenzie keeps wanting to play out being lost? And
oh yeah, the space one.
Mackenzie, your tether didn't break, did it? You unhooked it. Is that true, Chief Scientist?
Yes. I want to pretend that you leave me behind and I'm all alone.
Why?
I don't know.
Is that what it's – yeah, the space one. And it was remarkable to watch, especially as a trauma-informed therapist, to see that this child experienced something that was intense and scary, going down a slide, getting out at the other end, and not being able to see their mom. And right. What they found, what that child found themselves doing throughout the play, was wanting to act out this situation of being lost. And the friends were like, why do you keep wanting to pretend like you're lost in space? And then Mackenzie was like, I don't know, but I just do.
Yeah.
And then you see throughout the episode how Mackenzie, through the play, is able to like resolve this and like access like this part of her that then also remembers, oh, then my mom found me really quickly. But that's not the way the brain tends to store trauma memories, right? Mm-hmm. When it's really intense, the brain is like, ooh, that was really scary. We need to keep that at the forefront, and all the other details don't matter because they're not threats. And it just, I, at the end of that, I was like, they are geniuses. Oh, speaking of dogs, there's mine. We're going to pause recording for a second, Tessa. Yeah. So what our plan for today is that we are going to break down two episodes of Bluey. As therapists and parents ourselves, as we're watching Bluey, we are picking up on themes related to child development, child psychology, maternal mental health, parental mental health, right? Family dynamics. And we want to identify some of those themes, give you some actual parenting strategies that we are pulling from the WWCD, what would Chili do or what would Bandit do, like in these moments, and like what's behind some of those strategies and why they're effective. And then also give you some prompts and some questions that you can ask your child and yourself after the episode to kind of further some of those messages and themes. And we are creating a PDF for you that you can download at the link in the show notes that shares all of this. So you don't have to take notes. We did it for you. And there's even more in that download. So you can head there after we're done. If you haven't seen the episodes Bad Mood and Perfect, maybe pause here and go watch them tonight with your kid, and then you can tune back in, follow up with us tomorrow morning on your commute or something. And or if you've already seen it, or you don't have to have seen it to be able to kind of follow what we're about to share, because we're going to describe the episodes a little bit too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm so excited to talk about. I love these two episodes. And I feel like they're, just like chock full of parenting, like just normal parenting things that we go through, and like things that we see our kids, go through and struggle with, and how, parents might handle this in a way that uses that creativity and that, patience and kindness and like curiosity about what their kid is going through. And is a really good model for like how we could like want to strive to be as parents. I want to be as cool as Chili.
No, me too. I think we'd be friends. but they're also not perfect. And we're going to talk about that today too. Okay. So we're going to start off today with breaking down the episode Bad Mood. And this is from season 2, episode 34, for anybody who is wanting to go and find that episode now or after the episode, podcast episode. And so in this episode, Chili accidentally sends Bingo into a bad mood by calling her behavior cheeky.
Bingo, I didn't say you could have a biscuit. Put it back.
Sorry.
You're being a bit of a cheeky kid today.
I'm not a cheeky kid.
I know. You're a good kid.
But you just called me cheeky.
No, I said you're being cheeky. There's a difference.
So this leads Bingo to run to Bandit, who acts as Bingo's bad mood. And Bingo stands on her father's feet as he stomps around the house, controlling all of her movements. Bluey tries to free Bingo from the control of her bad mood throughout the episode by enticing her with all of her favorite things. And I love this episode for so many reasons. I love that, right, there's just this moment where, like, Chili's, like, she's cleaning up and she finds Bingo, I think, eating some sort of treat or something. And she's like, you're being – yeah, yeah. And she's like, you're being a cheeky kid today or something. How relatable is that? These moments that – oof. Like, so my oldest is in therapy right now. She asked to go, and we, of course, are big fans and support that. and she's doing some EMDR work with her therapist. And she shared with me recently that one of the memories that she was processing was a time when we were at her grandparents' house, my parents' house, and she opened the door and she let their dog out. And she came back and told me that the dog got out, and it was the look on my face of panic and, like, you know, just rushing out the door. And I got the dog, right? And, like, this dog is my parents' like baby, and I do struggle still, right? It's still part of my healing of, like, really being afraid of disappointing my parents. But in that moment, the like, that fear of disappointing them came out in my face, in my reaction to her when she let the dog out. And I've got the dog, nothing bad happened, but that was the part of the memory that she remembered. And, like, there's so many of these moments where, right, like, we respond or we say something or we didn't mean it a certain way, and our child takes it that way. And it's really easy to kind of fall into a spiral of, like, I'm screwing up my kids, right? But we're not perfect. We're gonna have these moments. And this whole episode is really about separating, right, like, Bingo's inner goodness, right, and this part of her, this bad mood, this frustration or this anger, or, like, that the part of her that, like, has a hard time resisting urges, right? And so tell us, Tessa, a little bit more about some of the themes that you notice in this episode, some of the parenting strategies, and then we can follow up with some, like, prompts and questions.
I agree. I love this episode. And just kind of, it's funny too, because basically, like, how they end the episode is really, like, how they start it. So, like, Chili says, like, oh, you're being a bit of a cheeky kid today. And she's like, I'm not a cheeky kid. And she's like, no, I said you were being cheeky. And she, like, and mom says, there's a difference. And Bingo's like, no, there isn't. Like, she's like, internalized that message. Like, I did something naughty, and so that means I'm naughty. And mom is like, wait, no, that's not what I meant. And then, like, the whole episode is Bingo now having to learn this, right? And, like, learn it in a fun way. Because a lot of times, like, we tell our kids something, but, like, what they internalize is how we act out things, right? Like, how we, you know, if we say something that doesn't always, like, resonate with them, they have to, like, understand it in a way that, you know, is more play-based and imaginative. Like, that's really how they learn things. It's not by, like, what we verbalize to them until, you know, their brains have developed more. And so, you know, at first she like goes and, like, wants to be by herself, and she's like, I'm in a bad mood. Like, nothing's going to get me out of this bad mood, which is, like, right. Like, when we're feeling in that lonely, like, shame space of, like, I'm bad, like, it's common that we would want to isolate and not be around other people, but we know that like to reduce shame, like we need connection. And she sees this like Viking hat and is like, this is her like lifeline to connection with her dad. And so, you know, if she had just sat in this and not engaged in this bad mood play, she could have really internalized the belief that like, I'm a cheeky kid, like I'm not good, right? Mm. I see this a lot with clients that they're like internal messages. When we do EMDR, it's not these like traumas that happen in their adulthood. It's stuff that happened in their childhood, like these little moments yeah. that felt really like big for them and they didn't have that connection. And so this whole episode is like her connecting with dad and like doing these like engaging in this like silly dramatization of being in a bad mood. So some of the like, you know, kind of like main takeaways from it is like big feelings, right? Like feelings are so overwhelming for kids. Like they can feel really scary. And they can like feel like they're literally taking over you and you're like not even like in control anymore. She literally says like throughout the things like I can't help it. Like I'm in, it's my bad mood. I can't help it.
Vanguard, what are you doing?
Because what happened is she saw when she was in that moment of shame, right? She sees this hat that represents this like play that she must have done with dad before where he acts out a bad mood. Right. And she takes it to dad and he's like, and I love the relatability where Ben is just like, oh no, not this, right? He's like doing the dishes and just so relatable, right? Like, I mean, now, like I said earlier, like I dance almost every time. Yeah. My 3-year-old goes pee now, you know, and it's sometimes like just yesterday, she was like, I have to go pee. I'm like, okay. Like, I'm like getting ready to go dance with her. And she's like, no, I want to do it by myself. And I'm like, okay. You know, so like, you know, eventually I was like, yes. Although the dancing is fun, but, I loved it. He's like, oh no, not bad mood again. But he puts the hat on and then Bandit goes on, Bingo goes on Bandit's feet and right. Like, and Bandit is obviously like you're saying like this like bigger, this bigger representation of this like controlling feeling that feels like it's taking over and is controlling Bingo as Bingo goes around the house and is like, you know, like knocking things down and turning the TV on and grabbing chocolate out of the fridge.
Right. And she's saying like, so Bandit's like watching, turns on the TV and is like watching cricket. And she's like, I don't even like cricket. Like, so she's like doing stuff that she knows is like not – in line with like what she wants or likes, but she like is saying like, I literally can't help this. And like, you know, it also goes into like how we express our emotions because like at a 4-year-old level, like what she's experiencing is so developmentally appropriate. Like they don't know how to regulate their emotions at that point in time. Like their emotions are really big and scary. And so they can come out big and scary because they're just like, don't know how to do it. And like what Bandit is doing is like he's co-regulating with her. He's like trying to like help her express the emotion in a way that is like not harmful but is also like letting her like kind of express like I'm not in a good mood, like I want to like be destructive. And like he's not letting her do, you know, crazy things. Like even she gets the chocolate out of the fridge and, you know, he's like, you can see he's like moving it in her hand, like so she can't actually take a bite.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's and the things that they do, like he, you know, messes with Bluey's stuff a little bit, but Bluey's like very in on the game, and she's like playing around with it too. But he's really like trying to like co-regulate with her, which is like such an important part of. This episode is like, how do we help our kids have express their emotions and like not label them as good or bad or whatever they are, but like let them feel their feelings and like let them know like there are outlets that you can use to kind of get these things out.
Mm-hmm.
As a mom to three, my partner and I find that one of the biggest struggles we have faced in our relationship is navigating sharing responsibilities and the mental load. And I know that we're not alone because this shows up with all of my clients, and in every podcast episode, the mental load of parenting shows up in some way or another. Enter the scene, Coexist. Coexist is the app that's revolutionizing how couples manage the mental load of household tasks and childcare. It's like having a personal assistant right in your pocket, helping you and your partner effortlessly share tasks, plan meals, collaborate on lists, and even give each other kudos along the way. Here's the cherry on top. For my amazing community, Coexist is offering an exclusive deal. Sign up for a 2-week free trial before June 15th, and you'll get 15% off the annual plan on iOS with the code DrCassidy15. So what are you waiting for? Really, take that first step towards a more harmonious home life today. Download Coexist on Android or iOS at getcoexist.com. The load in our home has been feeling a little bit lighter since downloading Coexist, and yours can feel lighter too when you download the Coexist app at getcoexist.com. Since becoming a parent and as I've gotten older, I've become a lot more mindful of the supplements and products that I use, and that's why I love Pieri. These are natural food supplements that I trust completely. Let's talk a bit about collagen. So collagen is so important for our bodies, but our natural production of it slows as we get older, so I've learned. And quality supplements support our muscle, bone, and joint health. Recently, I've been taking Pieri's CP1 Pure Collagen Peptides. It was number one out of 28 collagens tested by the Organic Consumers Association and Clean Label Project. There are enough hard decisions that we make every day as parents, and this makes Pieri an easy choice. See and feel the difference with Pieri. I know you'll love their supplements as much as I do. Pieri is offering my listeners an amazing deal, 20% off site-wide. Just go to my special URL, pieri.com/DrCassidy, and use my promo code DrCassidy. So go to PUORI.com/DrCassidy. Don't miss out. Use promo code DrCassidy at pieri.com/DrCassidy.
What I love about the episode here too is that throughout the episode, Bluey is trying to help Bingo get out of the bad mood by jumping in and showing Bingo things that maybe have helped Bluey in the past. Like, so Bluey, I think at one point is like trying to take some deep breaths and have Bingo sit in like a chair and take some deep breaths. At some point, Bluey. Yes. And then at one point, Bluey is like, let's dance to music. Right. And like, showing and like in having her dance to music, and it's so sweet, but it's not working. And I actually love that because like these are things that like, you know, I'll often tell my kids like let's take a deep breath, or like I'll turn some music on and start dancing. And like, you know what, like the deep breath hardly ever works in the moment. I will say that like introducing it over and over again, I do see my kids do that now, like on their own, but like in the moment, like, you know, unless like my 3-year-old will like act it out a little bit and it's cute, but like, you know, it's a learning process. The like the Absolutely. Impact of breathing over time. Absolutely. It's a muscle to flex over time. Right. Music, I'll turn on music and sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it doesn't help to like sit down and like draw it out. Right. And I love that Bingo's like, or like, you know, the bad mood is like, no, like, yeah, you know, and it's really relatable that sometimes what works for other people isn't what we need in those moments. And that's okay too.
Yeah. Bluey really understands, like has empathy for parents in this episode because she keeps trying over and over and everything backfires. And she's like, why isn't this working? And she even at one point like gets Bingo out of the bad mood and she's like, yes, I did it. And then Bingo goes back to the bad mood. So then she's really confused about like, wait, why isn't this working? And like, you know, there's a whole, you know, she talks to Chili and she's like, why would anybody want to be in a bad mood? And they're like, I don't know. And so there's this whole like conversation, you know, one of the conversation starters like you could have with your kid is like, yeah, why do we want to be in a bad mood? Like, why does it feel good sometimes to like, you know, be in a bad mood and like express our emotions? Because I think that's really important to not just be like, oh, you're in a bad mood. Like, you know, stop being in a bad mood. Like that doesn't work. As you see, like there's the things like some, they help her, like they, you know, the music helped her get out of the bad mood, but then she like kind of went back in it. And that's like, you know, how typical of us, you know, as humans, like when we are in a bad mood, like something could like help us for a minute, but then you're like, I'm like still ruminating over this thing, or like it's really hard to let go of like being in this space. And like, how relatable is that?
Yeah. And the way that it all wraps up is then Chili, right, puts on a hat, and now Chili is acting as the good mood. And she goes around and, you know, once Bingo is with the good mood, goes around and is just giving cuddles. and then Bingo says that she wants to give Bad Mood a cuddle. And at first Bluey's like, no.
Maybe I should give my Bad Mood a cuddle. No way, he's bad. No, he isn't. He was just behaving bad.
That Bad Mood is bad, and Blingo's like, no, I think Bad Mood just needs a hug, and goes and cuddles, and oh, it's so good. Okay, so it
relates right back to the beginning, because she's like, oh, I think Bad Mood needs a cuddle. Like Bad Mood looks really sad. Like Bandit looks really sad, and Bluey's like, no way, he's bad. And she goes, no, he isn't. He's just behaving badly, which goes exactly to like the beginning of the episode, which is like what Mom said in the beginning, right? But like, I love that, because it's like, what do we really want when we're in a bad mood? Like, we want to be seen. We want to be loved, connected. Like validated. We don't need someone to like come in and fix things, unless that's what we're asking for, but like we really just need to be like seen and like have somebody like witness, you know, hey, you're in pain, and like let me, you know, just be here with you while that happens. And like it's not until that moment does the bad mood like soften and like, you know, Bandit looks comforted. I know,
it's so good. Okay, so talk to us about just maybe some of the key parenting strategies you pull from it, and some of the prompts that you would have for after the episode. And as we said, you can download the PDF with even more at the link in show notes. But what are some of your top takeaways?
Yeah. So the game Bad Mood, like that's the game of this whole thing. And it's kind of like express feelings in an exaggerated way. If you don't want like a ton of destruction to your house, like you could do it that way. But other, you know, maybe ideas for like connection around this might be like asking your kid to like draw the bad mood. So like kids love, like that's part of like imaginative play, is like being able to draw out something, draw it out, and like asking them like, how do you comfort your bad mood? Like, how would you like tell your bad mood or like comfort your bad mood in this moment? Not to necessarily make them feel better, to just make them feel less alone. You could look at like an emotion wheel, where you can ask like, what do you think your bad mood is feeling? You could have an object like the Viking hat that represents when you're in a bad mood. So people know like, hey, this is like how I'm feeling. So you don't have to feel like you need to exaggerate the feelings. People just know you have that. Or you could come up with ideas of like how, you know, if I am in a space where I want to move out of my bad mood, like what could we do? Like, does deep breathing, music, drawing, like whatever help me? So those are some like plays on the bad mood game.
And you can use dolls and toys too. One of the ways in which we've done it in our house is you know, when I'm on the ground playing with my youngest and she's been going through something either on the playground or at school, whether it's worry, anxiety, or bad moods or anger, frustration, or sadness, I'll act it out with one of the little characters. I'll introduce a character into the play that is just like like stomping, and then just like, and then just pausing, and then just like letting her with the toys respond to it, you know? Yeah, I think that there's a lot of ways for us to play out these parts of us. And I think that what's really supportive about that and has roots in, you know, therapeutic frameworks like internal family systems, where we have these different parts of us, right? And there are no bad parts. That's actually a title of one of the IFS books. There's no bad parts. They're just, they're parts of us. They're emotions that we're all wired for as human beings that give us data about our experiences, right? And then there's also the self that can help soothe these parts of us, the self that we can, that helps us access like curiosity and, you know, connection. And I think that there's a lot of wisdom that comes from a child being able to begin to play out these different parts of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think some, you know, you mentioned before, like, okay, so what do we do with this? So, you know, one thing might be watching this episode with your kiddo and asking, you know, some questions, like some prompts. So, you know, like, what does it look like when you're in a bad mood? Like, how could I tell if you were in a bad mood? Do you know the difference between being bad and like doing something naughty or cheeky? What do you do when you're in a bad mood, or like, how do you get in a good mood, right? Like, you just can start having some of these like conversation prompts with your kiddo to kind of explore this emotions and big feelings and a conversation that can be really difficult to have. Yeah.
Yeah. I also love the prompt of maybe going into the episode thinking of something that you did as a kid that was quote unquote cheeky, you know, yeah. and being like saying after that I was like, hey, did I ever tell you? Oof, I don't know if I can tell you this. This is too much. I don't know if I can tell you. It's too bad. Well, wait, okay, maybe it's not bad. It was just I had a cheeky moment, right? That my bad mood got. You know, or maybe it's not bad mood. Maybe it was like an urge, right? Like, did I ever tell you about the time that I had this urge to do this thing? And I just, I couldn't keep it. I couldn't stop the urge. And I did this thing, and think of a story or make one up. I'm like, if you don't have a clear memory, right? Of like, of something that you can imagine yourself doing, right? Or having the urge to do. And just to like normalize, right? That like, you know, having urges and having a hard time not like giving into the urges, having bad moods, like this is, it's all part of being human. So yeah. I love this. And I feel like this also feeds really well into our next episode, right? Because no one is perfect, and perfect is not real. And in season 3, episode 14, we have the episode Perfect.
This episode of Bluey is called Perfect. This is going to be so perfect. Dad will stick it straight on the fridge.
And so I'll hand this off to you to kind of explain what's going on in this episode. And if the listener wants to pause here and go watch it, here's your chance. Or if you've seen it, or if you just want us to kind of talk you through it, and you can watch it with your kiddo, that's good too. But Tessa, what's going on in episode Perfect?
I love this episode. And I honestly like wish something like this had been around like when I was a kid, because I am definitely a perfectionist and like totally relate to the story you shared earlier about your daughter and like how I just wanted my parents to like be proud of me, which they were, but like this internal pressure, and like I never saw myself represented by anybody, like in like the cartoons that I was watching that could have said like, oh, this is like a common thing for kids to experience. I just felt like, oh, this is just me. Like I have this anxiety around being like good enough, and like, I'm just going to have to live with this. And like, I didn't know that, yeah, other people, like other kids experience this. So one, like, thank you creators for, you know, creating this, but I also wish you had done it 30 years ago, but you know, oh well. So in Perfect, the setting is Father's Day. So this actually came out for like, this aired for Australian Father's Day, which is a little different than American Father's Day. And was aired around like, we were like a year into the pandemic, which was like, I don't know about you, like was not a great time for parents. Like, we were at our best during the pandemic. Right. We were far from perfect. So I think it was a well-timed one. So basically, like, the setting is that they're trying to create these Father's Day cards. So Bingo and Bluey are, like, sitting down doing some art with Chili, and they're trying to create these Father's cards. And Bluey is, like, really set on drawing the perfect Father's Day card. And she's really struggling that, like, her each drawing that she tries isn't perfect. It's not good enough. And, like, Chili tries to, you know, get in there and convince her that, like, perfect isn't easy, or, like, perfect isn't obtainable. But she really has to, like, go through this whole process of doing this to understand that, like, yeah, right. Like, that's not obtainable. And, like, that's not necessarily the goal. And so it's just, like, a really awesome episode. I think what I love about this episode too is there's so many games in it. Like, it's just, like, game after game after game, because she's, like, imagining all these times she had fun with Dad. And so I love that. Yeah, there's just, like, all of these little tidbits of, like, oh, okay, like, yeah, I could do that with my kid, like, when I'm trying to, you know, be playful with them, or they're bored or whatever. So we'll, you know, set those up in the PDF, because I think there's a lot of good nuggets in there. But the whole episode is, like, about perfection.
Yeah. And I love, at one point, right, like, Bluey's using this word perfect, and then she kind of pauses and she's like, what does perfect mean? And I think it's so I still remember walking in when my oldest was much younger, and she was looking in the mirror, and I was like, what's going on, sweetie? And she was just like, am I pretty? And then I was like, oof, this feels like a really important moment. Got to get this right. Like, this is it, you know? And I kind of stumbled around, like, you know, like, what does pretty mean to you? Or pretty, I try to explain, like, subjective, and, like, you know, there's, she was grappling with, like, this concept, right? That seems vague, and you hear these words and they feel important. They pick up on, like, the importance of these things. And then I think she, like, was like, okay. And she, like, ran off and started playing. Yeah. And I remember just thinking, like, did I just totally screw up this important moment? And the thing is that it keeps coming back up, right? Like, so many more opportunities to have this conversation with her. And there's more episodes that pick up on this theme, where you see Bluey grappling with this same concept of, like, perfection and, like, wanting to draw perfect. Mm-hmm. There's the episode Dragon where this comes up again. Mm-hmm. And it just – I love that it shows that, like, you don't just have this one moment where you've got to get it right with the kids, and then, like, they take that lesson with them forever. They're going to continue to, through play, through experiences, through observation, learn about these concepts. And so – Bank Bingo's response when Bluey asks, what does perfect mean? She says, it means really, 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 really good, right? Then we learn throughout the episode, right, where, you know, Chili is trying to support Bluey, like, in identifying that, like, perfect is really tough, like you said. But then we find out that there was a moment, right, that, like, really stuck with Bluey around this. And can you – maybe you can talk to us a little bit about that moment.
Yeah, totally. So what I love about Chili is, like, she doesn't jump in to, like, overcorrect or, like, overparent, right? Like, totally – I totally relate to that moment that you mentioned with your daughter, because I think – our generation is like, yeah, okay, got to get in and fix, and, like, got to get in and, like, you know, this big moment, let's have this conversation. Maybe it's a therapist thing too, that we're like, oh, you're talking about this concept, and, you know, I want to talk about it. And, like, she doesn't try to, like, jump in and push the conversation and have, like, a teachable moment. She's like, secure in the knowledge that this is going to work itself out, and, like, this is going to, like, be okay. And, like, yeah, like, what Bingo said, that's pretty much it. Like, that is what being perfect means. And then, like, when she's, you know, also when she's, like, trying to come up with the cards, like, oh, should I do this idea or that idea? Like, mom isn't really, like trying to, like steer control. Her any one way or the other. Yeah, like trying to think he'll control, control her and like control this experience for her. She's just kind of like letting her like practice and like do it. And then like if when Bluey's like, I don't like that one, like that wasn't good enough, Mama's just like, okay, like she's not trying to like force it, which I think is like a lot of our, you know, parenting tactics, mine at least, can be that urge to do that, right? And I think that's like a really important key takeaway. And that like also she's kind of like developing this like grit, determination. Like that's more, you know, that's like the value for Chili, is that her kids are like determined and like persevere, right? Like it's not to be perfect or to strive for that. It's like, can you keep going? Like, can you keep like trying stuff even when it's hard? And I love that. And I love that, you know, part of this is that I like to, when I think of like, what would Chili do? Like most of the time it's like sit back and like watch things like play out and not like overparent and over function. And like, how often are we like, I need to like get in there or help them or, you know, figure this out for them, whatever. Like, we don't want to see our kids struggle. Like how common is that, right? And then like they need that. Like that's how you develop like that grit and determination is like, you know, that part of
there's this stuff is there's this like restraint. There's this like restraint that's really hard as a parent to just pause. Like sometimes I will have to really just pause and like take a moment to breathe and be like, okay, let like maybe I say something and then I just pause and like let them work this out for a moment, you know? And I also love the relatability, right? That like at some point, you know, like Bluey and Bingo are just drawing a line. Well, would dad like this? A dot. Yeah. Would dad like this? A line. Would dad like this? A squiggle. And eventually, and Chili's like, okay. Like, cause she's like, yes, he would love that if you like, and then she's like, okay, like, would he put this on the fridge? A dot. And then, you know, Chili's like, you know, I think dad would also really love to put care into it, you know? So like, it's just so relatable. Cause I could just see kids pushing right? Like, being cheeky and just pushing to like, because they really want to understand like what does it mean to put effort into something versus perfect, right? And you know, I think at the end of the day it's right, like are we just working on this one goal, this like benchmark of like, in this case Bluey wants dad to put the picture on the fridge, right? Because, and we'll get to that in a moment of why that's so important to to Bluey. Or are we actually in the process and like noticing the things that are important to us and meaningful to us as guides as we're working towards these things that are important to us? And so I love the restraint that Chili shows, as you're mentioning here in throughout the episode. I also just love the moments, if you notice in Bluey, they take moments where they're just like, you'll get a scene of like a bug crawling or like light filtering through leaves. And I think in this episode, there's a scene with like a spider web and like, you just sort of this, like this like representation of like nature isn't perfect, right? Either. Even though like a spider web might look perfect, like it's pretty remarkable actually. Like there's always imperfections. Like that's just the reality of our life and of being human and of nature too. And it's still beautiful. It's still purposeful. It's meaningful. So another element of this episode that I know we both love is that Chili's imperfections get to be a part of it. And so talk to us about why is the fridge, what's the scene? Why is the fridge so important to Bluey, getting this card on the fridge?
I drew you a picture.
Oh, wow.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Hey.
That's going straight to the fridge. Much room up here. Look, I'm just going to put it on top of Bluey's for now. Oh, hi, Bluey. I'm sorry, kid. I'm not perfect, I'm afraid.
That's okay. I love this scene. I think it's so funny. So yeah, like it flashes back to like Bingo did this drawing, and mom says like, oh my God, this is perfect. It's going straight up on the fridge. And you look at the fridge and there's pictures everywhere. And she's like, oh, there's not really space. So like, I'll just put it here like for now over Bluey's picture. And it's literally a picture of Bluey and mom holding hands, which was probably like so special to Bluey, right? And like felt good to have it right front and center. And so they put it up there. There's this quiet moment and they turn around and Bluey's standing there like jaw open like, like, how could you have put that over my picture? And like, that was so painful. It was just like so relatable to just like totally mess up as a parent. And your kid is just like, what? And you're like, oh God.
Yeah. And Chili's like, I'm not perfect.
Yeah. Right. And like, that's what I love. So I mean, like, we have these things happen all the time with our kids, and like the most important thing is the repair. So like Chili's like, oh, like I get it. Like I get what's at the core underneath this experience. And like, I'm sorry. Like she takes ownership of the what happens. She said, I'm sorry, I'm not perfect. I'm afraid. Like being a parent is tough. Like she acknowledges her mistakes, she apologizes, and she provides honesty, right? Like she's, you know, she's not defensive. She's not like gaslighting Bluey. Like she's like, I messed up. And like, you know, I'm not always going to get it right. It's hard.
Great. She acknowledges that it's the toughness of it, which I think is important here too, right? Like, because then Bluey says, yeah, drawing is tough too.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. So they like bond over like, yeah, these things are tough, right? Like it's hard to do something perfect because like, they're tough, right? And so then she, you know, talks about all of these. She gives like concrete examples of like all of these times where, you know, Bluey had these interactions with dad where like she got knocked around or like, you know, dad is like too rough, which like goes back to another episode where dad like makes mistakes, right? And then she like shows like, hey, like all of these times like you were able to get up and like keep going because you're tough, like and talks about this moment between Bluey and dad where he will say to her like it's a good thing you're tough.
Well, Bluey, it's a good thing you're tough. It's a good thing you're tough.
Right? And so they say like, yeah, drawing is hard, drawing is tough, but it's a good thing you're tough. Like we can do hard things, right? Like shout out to Glennon. So I think like it's such a great like wrap of it. And like, you know, they show the ending, which is like the picture on the fridge, both Bluey and Bingo. And dad's so funny because he takes the bill off the fridge and he's like, get out of here, power bill. And like he puts these pictures up and it's like a picture of dad and Bluey and they're like kind of like showing their muscles. Like they're kind of saying like, yeah, we're tough. Like we can do tough things. So I just, yeah, there's so many freaking nuggets in this of like gems of realness of parenting and realness of kids. Like I think if you have a kiddo that struggles with perfectionism, like this is such a good episode to like just have a representation of their feelings and their experience. And like it's so good for parents too to see like, hey, we can mess up and that's okay, but like let's make repairs. Let's like, you know, show our kids that yeah, this is real life. This is like what it looks like to mess up and be okay with that.
So what are some questions, some prompts that we might be able to share with our kids after the episode or that we could even just reflect on for ourselves too?
Yeah. I think, I mean, just the thing that Bluey asked mom, like, wait, what does perfect mean again? Right? Like, what do you think perfect means to your kid? Like, what's their definition of it? Like, do they have a definition of it? Like Bluey has this like specific definition is like getting my thing on the fridge means that's perfect, that I'm good enough if it goes on the fridge. Right. And so does your child have like a specific, thing for that? And then I think another great one is like, you know, why do you think mom thinks it being perfect is tough? Like, why do you think she might say that? Like that to be perfect is really difficult. So to get an understanding of like what, you know, what they think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I love this. And I loved, you know, we'll share some other strategies that we even see from Dad Bandit, as you mentioned, in our PDF. But just wanted to give a quick shout out to the one boomerang moment where the Bandit is playing boomerang with Bluey, where he basically tosses Bluey and then Bluey spins around and comes back. But Bandit's having a conversation with another dad in this scene. And in the U.S. version, because there's a U.S. version and then there's another version. I don't know why they felt like they had to – the Australian version. In the U.S. version – yeah. In the U.S. version, Bandit's talking about getting something removed. And we find out in the U.S. version that it's his canine teeth. And he's like, I don't know. Wait, one day I might just want to bite someone. Like, why? What if I want to bite someone one day? Like, why don't I need to get these teeth removed? But in the Australian version, he's – you want to share what he's talking about? I think it's so funny.
Yeah, which is so funny. Yeah, it's like there actually is a couple of, like, adaptations to the U.S. versions that, like, the U.S. folks think were, like, too much, I don't know, for, like, audiences. Yeah. So in the Australian version, they're talking about, like, a vasectomy. Like, they're talking about he goes on to say, like, yeah, like, I'm keen on it, but, like, I don't think Chili, she wants to keep her options open. Like, and then, like, you see Bluey, like, doing the boomerang thing. He's like, who wants another, you know, who wants more of these running around? Right. And so how, you know, can be totally relatable to parents. But I guess, yeah, in the U.S. version, they were like, oh, no, we don't want to talk about that subject.
Vasectomies, I guess.
They changed it. Yeah, they changed it to be about to be about canine teeth. And there's a couple of other examples. And it's just – it is funny to see, like, the humor is, you know, a little bit different. Like, U.S. are a little bit more conservative when it comes to our humor. But the Australian versions are pretty good.
Oh, so good. Okay, so let's wrap up here. For any of you who want more, go download that PDF we've mentioned now a few times. We had a lot of fun creating it for you. Now, I did a poll on Instagram about what's everyone's favorite episodes. And so we want to just share a couple shout outs to some of the ones that I think parents will relate to the most, or these are the tear jerkers. Mm-hmm. These are the ones that are pulling on the emotions. And so, Tessa, what were some of the most popular episodes? And then I would love to hear your favorite underrated episode.
Hard to choose. Okay, so by far, Baby Race was, like, the number one that people chose, which I totally am on board with. That was the first episode I ever watched. And Cassie and I were talking about how our kids were all bum shufflers. So they didn't really crawl. They just scooted.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a really good representation of the postpartum period for a mom, and, like, a lot of the struggles that we can go through, and, like, the comparing yourself to other moms. And, like, I think this is, like, a number one parent episode to watch. I don't know if your kids will like it or not, but, like, if you're a parent, you should watch
My kids love it. My kids think it's so funny. Like, you know,
it is funny.
The bump shuffling, the rolling, the crawling backwards. My kids loved it.
Right. I know. It is pretty, and, like, it is a good representation of, like, also Bluey's really caught up in, like, the competitiveness of, like, her friend.
Yeah.
And so it also goes into, like, competing with their friends. The second one was Sleepy Time, which is, like, a tearjerker, like, so good. It's about, you know, the experience of, like, she's trying to sleep in Bingo's trying to sleep in her own bed, and just how difficult that can be, and, like, the support her mom is showing her, and it's just, like, a really feel good episode. So those were, like, one and two. Those were, like, clear one and twos. So if you haven't ever watched Bluey, like, those are great places to start.
And if I can give a couple other shout outs before you share your favorite underrated episode, Onesie is another one where infertility is addressed. There's also Cricket, which is my 9-year-old's favorite and always makes me cry too. I think great for a kid who – any kid, but, like, for my son, he's been playing soccer and been kind of struggling with just practicing and comparison and feeling really good about it and then seeing other people are better at certain things and struggling with that. And like it talks about like grit and it talks about practice and it talks about just loving something. And that was a good conversation for my son and I too, because there's also things that he doesn't love, but then he's like, why are others so much better at it? And like, but he's like, wait, do I even love this? Mm-hmm. You know? And so I don't know. And then at the very end, the way it ends is so good. And then rain. If you are looking for something like where you just want to have your nervous system feel soothed and calm down, and like your kids too, there's like hardly any talking in that episode, but there's so much said. And it's so there's just music and it's so soothing. And that's a great one too. Good. So
that is like definitely one of my favorite. Every time that comes on, it's just like a warm cuddle. Like it's just like feels so good. And they don't even say anything.
Yep.
So one of my favorites is called Bike. And it's where Bluey's kind of learning how to ride a bike. And she like wants to give up and is just kind of like, I can't do this. Like, you know, I don't want to. So she like sits back and her and dad are watching three other kids at the playground like try something difficult too. And they're like watching them struggle and they're like, we should go help them. And dad is literally like, hold on, like, let's give it a second, right? Like the same thing, kind of thing we've been talking about is where they're letting them, you know, struggle and like figure it out themselves a bit. And, you know, in the end, they all are able to like do it in their own unique way. It's like, I don't think I would have done it that way, but like that was what worked for them. And I just love that like concept. And just like the interaction between Bluey and dad in that episode. So I think that's one of, I don't think I could say like my favorite. I think
okay, that would be but so like maybe hard, more underrated. Yeah.
Okay. That is like the one that, you know, didn't get a ton of like mentions on your, you know, when you crowdsourced, but like one that I really love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Tessa, thank you so much for coming on and decoding Bluey with me. I could do this for hours. And so, you know, if you enjoyed this episode, let us know, reach out on Instagram, shoot me an email. Because if we see there's a lot of interest in more like this, we'll for sure do some more. Tessa, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on. This was a great time.
Thank you. I loved it. Yes. Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you did, you might want to hit that subscribe button to be the first to know when future episodes air. And go and explore some of those past episodes. Maybe there's a topic in there that you've really been wanting to learn more about. You can learn more about my private practice as well as my parenting courses and workshops at the link in the show notes. You held space for yourself today. You carved out the time and you tuned in to this episode. I hope you take a moment to honor how meaningful that is. Yes, to me for sure, but also for you. Thank you for tuning in and I'll catch you next time.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. Thank you.